welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, February 20th, 2019, New Comic Book Day. What are you doing listening to this podcast? Why are you not reading comics? You know what you could be doing is reading comics and listening to this podcast. Anyways, today's topic I already teased out on yesterday's episode or Monday's episode. Sunday episode this week, I teased it out. I'm going to be talking about the cancellation of Vertigo Comics' Second Coming. Before we get to that, there's a couple things I want to chime in on. I'm actually interested to see what other people are thinking about this. I saw Tom Taylor get a lot of flack over the last few days after DC announced Deceased. I don't know. It's a brand new book that he's doing. Of course, Tom Taylor, famous for, as he likes to say, his number one worldwide best-selling comic, Injustice, which just recently ended, as a matter of fact. And I saw he was taking a lot of flack because of the fact that a lot of people seem to not like Injustice for some reason. I know Ronnie and Aaron love that comic. They talk about it on Absolute DC all the time. Matter of fact, I'm sure they're kind of sad that they can't talk about it anymore because the book's not coming out. But anyways, it's a great book. I'm not caught up on it. I've been reading it in trade, and I'm a few trades in. I'll get to it eventually. It's just too many comics to read, you know what I mean? But if you never picked it up, check it out. It's awesome. It's one of the best Elseworlds stories that I've read in quite a long time. And he's been getting a lot of flack for this disease thing, and I don't understand why. Matter of fact, that's probably the theme of the show is I just don't understand. Maybe that could be the episode topic or the episode title. But yeah, he's been getting a lot of flack because people don't like Injustice. And you know what? This book looks awesome. And if you don't know what it's about, it reminds me of... You guys remember that book, Marvel Zombies? It kind of seems a little bit like that. Maybe a little different. Maybe a little more serious. And basically, it's going to pit mostly Batman. He's a central character. Greg Capullo's drawing, so you know it's going to be good. Against this zombie plague that's set out by a virus that Darkseid unleashes. Yes, Darkseid, not Darkseid. Don't at me. It's not Darkseid. You're wrong. Go read a book. How about that? And I don't know. It looks awesome. The art's great. Trevor Hairsine, which I'm very familiar with Trevor from his work over at Valiant. I hope that they have a great inker on this guy. Judging by the pages that I've seen, it looks pretty good. But I've always had an issue with his art, depending on who's inking and coloring. And judging by the pages that were released, it looks pretty good. So should be an interesting book to check out. There's going to be a few other people working on it. I don't have the creative team in front of me, so sorry about that. And, yeah, it looks great. This is coming out in May 1st. It's going to be a six-issue series. I can't wait to see where it goes. So I'm curious if you're going to be picking up Deceased. I'm very much looking forward to it. I mean, Ronnie tweeted at me, said, Batman and Zombies, I know you're in. And I said, hell yeah, I'm in. So looking forward to this one very, very much. Same with that Savage Avengers. I know I talked about that a little bit on Monday's episode when I talked about Savage Sword of Conan. I know some people are upset about it. I understand why. It's fine. It's fine, Chris. I mean, I don't want to single you out, Chris, but it's fine. It'll be fine. It's going to be a fun book. And if you don't want to pick it up, don't pick it up. That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? The other thing I want to talk about before getting to the Second Coming topic is these new Batman exclusive Walmart exclusive Batman, whatever, you know what I mean. Walmart exclusive Batman black and white mini statues. They're going to be releasing six every month. There's six this month, six in April, six in June, six in August. And they're basically the exact Batman black and white line, a line of statues that I really love. They're not huge. They're also not very expensive. So I own a few of them. I don't like to spend money on statues. It breaks into my comics budget, you know what I mean? But these black and white statues are usually like, I don't know, 60 to 100 bucks, depending on which one you get. And I'm looking forward to some of these. I do own, let me look here, three of them. And I do plan on getting more. But this will be a kind of cool addition if I manage to get them all. Here's the problem that I have with this little Batman black and white mini statue thing, is they're selling them in blind bags. And I don't know how many of you have kids listening to this or even know what a blind bag is. My kids, especially the younger one, not so much now, but she used to love those blind bag toys. And basically it's a little bag that you can't see inside, and you pay way too much money for a little tiny piece of crap plastic action figure that you don't know what it is. And I guess that's kind of part of the excitement, right? It gives you that that dopamine rush when you figure out what you just spent more, what you spent your parents' money on. So they're doing that with these. I don't know if, you know, I'll be honest. I don't know if we as grown adults are the demographic for this kind of thing. However, what I found cool was they were actually releasing these in comic shops. The first set is going to be released in May. The first set includes the Batman Black and White figures by Amanda Conner, Darwin Cook, Jason Fabok, Patrick Gleason, Frank Quietly, and Dick Sprang. And the cool thing about the direct market version of these is that they're going to have a seventh figure included. And I don't think they said what the seventh figure was, but I think that's a pretty nice way to appease comic book shops, right? Comic book shops have been a little upset over this whole Walmart thing. I don't think Walmart's selling that many. I know they're expanding the line, but I mean, they've changed some of the titles. So, we'll see. Like I said this a few weeks ago, I went to a local Walmart and they had put Marvel books on top of the DC books in the box. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with those things, but I'm sure DC would not be happy about that. So anyways, these are going to be, I don't think they set a price on the direct market version, but the cool thing about that is they're not blind bags. So if you wait until May to get these, you can just buy the whole set of them, or volume one of the set. And I think that's cool. I think that's probably the way to do it, and that's probably what I will do. I'm just going to hang on until May and see which figures I can pick up. These are going to be selling for $5 a piece now. Again, I don't know what the direct market version is going to cost, but if there's seven figures, my assumption is it's going to be $30. So you kind of get like the six, buy one free, or buy six, get one free kind of thing. Looking forward to these. So check those out at your local Walmart. Let's talk about this topic of this week's episode, and that is Vertigo's Second Coming. I will apologize ahead of time in case I get into a little bit of a religious commentary on this as well. I'm going to try not to, I promise. I promise I will try. However, I cannot guarantee that it won't happen, because the two things are kind of intertwined, I guess you could say. So a few months ago, DC had announced that in their Vertigo lineup, there would be a new book coming out called Second Coming. It's written by Mark Russell with art by Richard Pace. And basically this was, as you can imagine by the title, a book kind of about Jesus. Jesus comes back to Earth after 2,000 years of his death and resurrection, and he starts rooming with a superhero, Sunman, I think is the guy's name. And the two learn a lot from each other. Sunman learns from Jesus, Jesus from Sunman, and Jesus is kind of looking around and can't understand what the hell has happened to the world since last he was here. Kind of interesting premise, obviously quite a bit of satire, and of course whenever you have satire, you have people getting very upset. Now, I understand if you're a very religious person that you might see this kind of thing as blasphemous. I mean, I grew up in church, my dad was a preacher, so I totally understand that kind of thing. There is, however, a difference between making fun of something purely to be an asshole and making fun of something as social commentary. In fact, I don't know how it is worldwide, but at least here in the U.S., you're allowed to do that kind of thing in something called freedom of speech. I know this has been kind of a topic in the news lately because SNL loves to make fun of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump hates it. But there is a little thing called freedom of speech, and it allows you to make commentary on something, make fun of something, and have your speech be protected, where you don't have to worry about retribution from the government, etc. And this is kind of what that is, right? It's partially a freedom of speech argument, I guess you could say. And I know some of you are already like, I'm turning this show off. That's fine. If this is not a discussion for you, that's fine. I wanted to talk about this because this hits a couple of things that are important to me personally and my own personal beliefs. And I will say I'm not religious. I'm not religious at all. I haven't been to church. I mean, I haven't been to church in about, 7 years, six, 7 years. Before that, it probably had been, I don't know, another 10. Like I said, I grew up in church. I respect people that have deep religious convictions. I'm more of a spiritual person. I believe in stuff. I don't know what that stuff is. But I pretty much believe that whatever actions I choose to do in my own life are what's important. You know, if you want to be an asshole, then, karma's kind of a bee, as they say. Can I say asshole and not bitch? All right, you know what? We'll just do it. So this episode will mark explicit on iTunes. I think religion plays an important role in society. I definitely do. Matter of fact, I had this discussion with my parents when I sat down with them when I was about 18, 19, and told them that I was going to be leaving church and why. And we had a whole discussion about the merits of going to church and not going to church and religion, etc. And my dad still tries to get me to go to church. Every time he comes to visit, he prays with me, him and his wife, and that's fine. I totally respect that. That kind of thing is not for me. And I think that's part of where the problem lies with the cancellation of this book. And I'll get to the whole intricacies of it. But part of the reason this book was canceled is because evangelical Christians, for the most part, are upset that this book is a book about Jesus and kind of making fun of things. Kind of stating that modern Christianity is maybe not the most Christian of things. And whether I agree with that point is kind of irrelevant to the discussion. Although I will say, in many respects, I do think that's correct. I see a lot of people talking about God and this, that, and the other. And it almost feels like a lot of people that are saying these kind of things have never even read the Bible. You know, I've read the Bible many times, as a matter of fact, way too many times that I like to acknowledge. And I do think that there is some great knowledge and wisdom to be had from reading the Bible. There's also some really obscene and hateful things in the Bible, mostly Old Testament. But I think there is a place for this kind of thing to come about, because really it's when we have not necessarily just comic books like this, but all kinds of media, right? Movies and TVs that kind of challenge what the pre-existing view of something is. That's when we as a culture can move forward. And, you know, to kind of sit back in your own personal beliefs and say nothing else can be right but what I believe in is kind of wrong. And to be honest, this is part of the reason why I say maybe people should read the Bible more often, kind of against what the Bible says. I don't want to quote religious scripture here, but you can look this up, listen to advice, and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. I mean, there's a reason these things are in the Bible. Anyways, so what happened was, this book was going to be coming out. I was excited to read it because I love Mark Russell. I know that a lot of people don't like Mark Russell because he usually writes a lot of political, socioeconomic commentary into his books. But I think the way he does it, for the most part, is actually really brilliantly done. There's books like The Flintstones, for example, that he did that really updates things while being true to the original. Most recently, he's doing Wonder Twins over at the Wonder Comics line at DC. And apparently, they had submitted this book. DC was going through it, and the editorial wanted to remove some profanity. Apparently, there was a penis, not a penis. This is the reason why I want to talk about this book, so I can just talk about penis on the podcast. Because everyone loved when I talked about Batman penis last time. Now that's not what I'm doing it. But there was male nudity in the Garden of Eden scene. Oh my lord. You mean when people were naked, you can't show people naked? Insanity. How ludicrous. And some additional changes. So there was a delay expected for the book as a result of the changes editorial wanted to make. And aside from the religious aspect of this whole thing, I think there's also kind of a problem with the way maybe some companies work in comics. You know, we see this over at Marvel quite a bit. I know people like to make fun of Marvel becoming Disney-fied quite a bit. And I think that's probably with good reason. There are certain things that writers at Marvel and apparently also at DC will never be allowed to get away with because there's a certain image that these companies want to have, right? In particular, Marvel, because they're owned by Disney. And, you know, we talked about, for example, the Netflix shows maybe coming to Hulu, or how they're announcing all kinds of series. I mean, there was a Howard the Duck and a few other ones announced recently coming to Hulu because these are kind of more kind of Adult Swim type cartoon shows that they're doing. What was the ones that they announced? Howard the Duck. I know that they're talking about that Loki one. There were a few other ones. Man, I wish I remember what there was. I should have looked that article up before I started this. But there's like four or five animated series, and they're going to be doing like Adult Swim type things. So these are cartoons for adults with Marvel Comics characters because these things don't really fit into what Disney wants to do with their Disney Plus service. And I can understand that. I can appreciate that. But that's why, as a result, Disney Plus will not be for me. I mean, I'm probably going to have to get it anyway because my kids will want to watch the 3 billion DCR Disney animated and whatever live action stuff on there, but it won't be for me. Whereas DC Universe is for me because these shows are fantastic. I haven't talked about Doom Patrol yet, but that first episode was brilliant. So go check that out. And now we're seeing this over at DC as well, right? And I don't know if this is coming down from Warner Brothers or what it is. I know that there's been a lot of changes, corporate changes up at DC lately. And, you know, we saw that with all the Batman Damned controversy recently, which I think that book is canceled now. I think issue 3 is never coming out, which I find that interesting. And if I made that up, I may have, but I'm pretty sure I read that. Why is no one talking about that? People are going to be really pissed off if that doesn't come out. I mean, it's only a 3-issue book. Why not put out the 3rd issue? Anyways, now we have this on here. And the thing is, if this were, say, a DC mainline book, right, or a Wonder Comics book, or, I mean, not some, Young Animal was kind of edgy in a way, but this is a Vertigo book. This is a Vertigo book. And my thing is, aside from all the other commentary that we're seeing, right, because I think that's where the focus of this conversation has been. That's why I started with that discussion, and I wanted to kind of move away from it, because I think the most important part of the discussion is not so much the fact that religious people are upset with the fact that this book has Jesus in it, which, by the way, not the first comic to have Jesus in it. There's been a billion other ones. Some of them show Jesus in a terribly bad way. I don't remember ever seeing anybody talk about those books. It just so happens that maybe because of Mark Russell's name, Fox News picked it up and people got upset. There's a petition, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm going to petition for you all to quit petitioning because, God damn it, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Anyways, Second Coming was going to be coming out for Vertigo. Now, some of you that have been reading comics for much less time than, say, I have, may not know what Vertigo is about. But I remember Vertigo. Because Vertigo, when I was growing up reading comics, was one of those things where if I wanted to, like, stick it to my parents, I would go and pick up a Vertigo book. Because they were very adult, very violent, very edgy, very smart. By the way, I never wanted to stick it to my parents. I just said that because that's what kids say. I never wanted to stick it to my parents. In fact, I love and respect my parents very much. My mom's passed away, but I love and respect both my parents very much for their particular points of view. However, they are not my points of view. So, you know, Vertigo has always been this edgy thing. I mean, think about some of the books that have come out there, right? Like Unknown Soldier, a book that some people hate because the extreme violence towards children, for example. Things like Preacher and others. I mean, Vertigo has a long-standing tradition of pushing the edge, of coming out with books that say something, that mean something, that are actually something more than the average comic that you pick up in a newsstand. Well, I guess you don't pick them up in newsstands anymore, at the comic shop or wherever else. It has always been the case. It has always been the case. And, you know, Vertigo's gone through a lot of interesting changes over the last several years. They've done a lot of editorial change, a lot of corporate change, and the books just weren't doing as well, right? I mean, for a while, I don't think there were even any Vertigo books coming out, maybe like one or two. And then a few years ago, we had a relaunch. There were some really great books. There was a Gail Simone book that I really liked. What was that called? Clean Room. That was really good. A few other ones. 140, I think, was one of them. Anyways, there were a few of them. They didn't last very long because people weren't that interested. And I think it's because people had kind of gotten used to Vertigo not really being a thing. And now DC's coming back and trying to make Vertigo a thing. And they've done a few books, some of them that maybe were controversial for good reason, like Border Town. Even though the book was terrific, you know, the creator was kind of a misogynistic douchebag, and so the book was canceled. But there's great stuff coming out of Vertigo now. And not a lot of people talking about Vertigo books coming out. I guess people are still trying to get used to that kind of thing. But the central theme of Second Coming is something that is not very different from Vertigo's long-standing tradition. And for that, it kind of makes me sad for the company itself. I mean, people will always be people, right? People will always find a reason to complain about something, right? I mean, in a way, you could say that I'm complaining about people complaining right now, and that's probably true. But I also want to add a little to the conversation, because one thing we often forget is to listen, right? Everyone likes to talk. But not everyone likes to listen. And that's part of the reason why I quoted that Bible verse a little bit earlier. Because it is important to listen, right? We don't all have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers, right? The president doesn't have all the answers. Your parents don't have all the answers. Your preacher doesn't have all the answers. Your cousin doesn't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. God damn, I know that. I don't have any answers. I just like to get in front of a mic and BS for 30 minutes every day. Nobody has the answers, but what's important is finding out what your answer is. And one way to do that is to listen to not just the questions that other people are asking, but the answers that other people are giving. And think to yourself, why is it that this person is saying this particular thing? What is the motivation? What is the drive? What is the meaning behind it? What is the thought process behind it? Because we often don't do any of these kind of things, right? We as people like to react. We often say things without thinking about them. And that's part of the reason why we have so many problems today. I mean, a lot of people complain about comics Twitter, right? I don't have a problem with comics Twitter at all. Partially because I surround myself with people who I feel have interesting things to say. And while I definitely don't agree with more than half of things that people say, I mean, you know, you're going to have some kind of tribal thing, right? Where people with like minds come together. But even people with like minds as myself often say things that I don't agree with. But I never go and attack these people for what they believe in or what they said. I try to understand why they say those things. And you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe I can incorporate their truth into my truth. And maybe that's what's important. So the fact that Vertigo doesn't want to put this book out because there was too much profanity and there was a penis in it. I mean, goddamn DC, come on. What are we trying to do here? Do we want to make comics for kids or do we want to make comics for people that want to read them? Because we all know, this is not a secret that kids aren't really reading comics. I mean, my kids read some comics. Your kids, if you have kids, might read some comics. You might be a kid. I'm a freaking 37-year-old kid. Of course, I read comics. We know that the majority of the comic audience is, I mean, there's definitely a ton of women listening, so don't get upset. Don't at me when I say this. But the majority of people reading comics are adult men, right? 30 to 50 years old. I don't think this is a secret, right? Walk into any comic shop. Go to a convention. I mean, a convention might be a little different because you do have a large female demographic showing up. But if you look around, chances are a large chunk of people is adult males, 30 to 50. I mean, it'll be younger, right? But I think the core of people spending the most money on comics are adult males, 30 to 50. You think adult men in that age range have never seen a penis? They've never heard a bad word? I said like 15 in this episode. I'm not going to show you my penis, though. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're coming to a point where we can't have a storyteller tell a particular type of story because of the fact that they can't say a bad word. Or show a penis in the Garden of Eden when nobody had clothes, god damn it! It's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense to me. And in particular from a comic company like Vertigo. Now Mark Russell's going to be shopping this book around. And I guarantee you, there will be a dozen different publishers that want to put this out. Will it sell as much as when Vertigo was going to put it out? Probably. To be quite honest, probably. Because the people that were going to be interested in this are probably a very select minority. As we see from the uproar of this book, a lot of people don't want to read this book. And that's totally fine, because guess what? There are 500-600 comics that come out every single month, and I guarantee you, you probably only read 4 or 5. I mean, as many comics as I read, I, number one, don't have the time. I also don't want to spend money on 600 comic books, because I have a family to support. But, I mean, I do read a lot. I read, you know, 25 comics a week. That's 100 comics a month, roughly. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But just because this book was coming out on Vertigo doesn't mean that people are going to buy it. In fact, I guarantee you, this book would sell maybe 4,000 or 5,000 copies. Okay? And I'm just judging by, you know, sales numbers from companies like, I don't know, Aftershock or Vault, right? 5,000 to 10,000 copies, I would say. Because there's definitely people that would want to read this. I mean, I want to read this. I'm still going to get this book. I want to read it. Purely because of Mark Russell. Because he has a knack for turning really oddball concepts into really fascinating reads. And so whatever book Mark Russell puts out, that's the other one he's doing. He's doing The Lone Ranger. Freaking fantastic. And there are not enough Western comics out right now. So somebody fix that. Somebody put out some more Western comics. Of course I'm going to pick it up. Anything Mark Russell does, I will pick up. And I don't usually try to follow writers and artists, right? But there are sometimes people where you come out and you're like, I mean, I know zero about Mark Russell. I know his name is Mark Russell and he writes comics. That's literally all I know about this guy. But I also know that every comic he puts out, I really, really enjoy. So of course I'm going to be looking out for a new Mark Russell property. Now, where is this going to go? I don't know. I mean, a company like Black Mask would love to put this out. Vault would probably put this out. Aftershock, maybe not. Maybe not. but there's plenty of others that would. Now, will those companies draw some flack when this book is resolicited? Probably not. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, no one will give a crap when this book is resolicited under a different company. And the reason for that is, the only reason people are upset is because this is a DC Comics book, and it's going to have a lot of press to it, a lot of push behind it, even though it won't sell many copies. And that's why people are upset. But when it comes to somebody outside of Marvel and DC, I guarantee you, 80% of people won't give a crap what's coming out. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, 80% of people listening to this podcast have no idea who Vault or whatever. That's probably not true. You guys are very smart. But 80% of the general comic audience, I guarantee you, have never even read a Black Mass book or Aftershock book or Vault book or Alternate book or Lion's Forge, any of those companies. Ahoy. And they're missing out on some of the greatest comics that are coming out right now because those companies all put out fantastic content that is not just your typical thing. Now, that's fine. You know what? You might just want to read superhero comics. That's totally cool. But expand your mind. Listen to what other people have to say. Listen to what other comic creators are talking about. Try something outside of your safe zone. If you just want to read Spider-Man and Batman the rest of your life, cool, do that. But you are missing out on so much great content. And I know that Second Coming is going to be one of those books that I will feel is great content. Anyways, I want to know what you guys think about this. This kind of went a different direction than I thought it would. Quite honest, very much different than I thought it would. But thanks for listening. Let me know what you thought about this discussion. If you're pissed off, then that's cool. I get angry messages on Twitter via DM and on my email a couple times a week. I can't believe you said this. Blah, blah, blah. That's fine. I will gladly have a discussion with you. Matter of fact, I remember when I did the Chuck Dixon episode a few months back, I got the most hateful email, and it was literally like 3,000 words. It was the longest email I've read in my life. Longest email I've read in my life. And I got cussed out, this, that, and the other, and I replied with some questions. And you know what happened after that? We had a pretty civil discussion via email. Now, I don't check email very often. I talk about this on Twitter. I check email like once a week. But because of this discussion, I was like, you know what? I'm going to check and see what this person has to say. And we went back and forth via email for, I don't know, about 6 or 7 emails. And about halfway through the discussion, this person was calm. We had a rational discussion. And we kind of understood where each of us was coming from. And that was that. We need more of that. So anyways, you can, of course, find me on Twitter at Geekvine. You can email yell@comictalk.today, because that's probably the best place if you want to yell at me. You know what I mean? Long form is where you can yell at me. Twitter is where we can have a quick back and forth. I'll be back tomorrow with Throwback Thursday. I will be doing an episode discussing Event Comics' Ash. I love that comic when it came out. I still love this comic now. Spoilers! Anyways, that's going to be it. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. I will catch you then.